Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
It is Good Friday to the Catholics or Christians out there. Welcome to Menace to Sports. Menace at Lunch, we're calling it. Kind of a beta test Thursday and Friday to see how our viewers were. And yesterday went crazy. Probably our biggest one-day live stream yet. So it's looking like the people have spoken. But it is April 15th, tax day, not legally, but usually you have till the 18th. Because today is Good Friday, I think that's why. Maybe not.
That's why.
A couple extra days. So you have till the 18th, and to file your taxes. So a little reminder: download TurboTax. This is a non-paid ad. go file your taxes by Monday. But I want to talk about a lot of stuff today. Obviously, Friday is kind of our catch-all day. We have a hometown hero. We're going to call a local barbershop here where I live to find out if fellow pal resident Zach Harrison is a hometown hero it's Olentangy is the school district. I don't know which town I think Lewis Center is what he is on his bio, but he's a Powell kid, Lewis Center kid, an Olentangy kid. So he said, give me a Roll Tide, guys.
Roll Tide.
We pushed a button there in Roll Tide Nation, didn't we? Mm-hmm. And I think it's of note before we get going to say that what my take on Alabama, I still firmly stand behind. I think what got lost in all of it was the development and recruiting that had happened prior to 2020, right? 2020 was kind of that year where it all culminated. And since then, it has looked like a complete falling off the cliff. Mm-hmm. But they were doing it at a different level before that. So all the credit in the world. The point really was, they were so dominant in recruiting receivers and developing receivers. And then all of a sudden it was like nothing. Mm-hmm. And that was the point. And it's still accurate. So, but it's not to discount what they did in 2019, 2020.
Get to your housekeeping. I will go in on Alabama here in a sec.
I'm going to go quick through them. First of all, zone6.com. If you are a high school athlete, if you know a high school athlete, if you are a high school coach, middle school kid, doesn't matter. Zone6.com. It is a free trial, 7 days. You can try it out for 7 days, watch all the content, study it. There's going to be another content drop on Monday or Tuesday. So if you sign up right now, you will get all the content that's on there, plus another content drop. And after those 7 days, you'll either say, yep, this is worth it. Or you know what? I'm going to wait till it's maybe grown a little. I don't know. Whatever your apprehensions are, but go try it out. Zone6.com. You got the hiccups, of course. So we got that going on. The charity side of it, I'm working to solidify a July camp right now. Oh my gosh.
And I'm working on that.
Also, if you want to see the Jim Knowles video that YouTube wouldn't allow us to do, go to Patreon. And of course, last but certainly not least, Sapphire Gentlemen's Club in Las Vegas. Phone number 702-869-0003. Hold on, there we go. Text that number, call that number, or go to sapphirelasvegas.com. They have a draft package party for Thursday for the first round. And then afterwards, TO's having a big after party. Great place to watch the draft, strip club. I mean, you name it. It'd be a Vegas experience, the best way to do it. I'll let you know if we're going, hopefully by the end of next week. And then if we are, come hang out at our live show. It'll be a movie. So that's all I got, Chris. That's all I got for housekeeping. Tried to hurry through it. I've been taking a little too much time on that recently.
Oh, no. You're good. So here we go. Just real quick, my one touch on Alabama is that they have a kid from Louisville. The Harrell kid is going to commit to Alabama at some point. This has been kind of the worst kept secrets. They sent up that flare saying we need a transfer receiver. One is going to come in. And so if any other room, especially if Ohio State had a room, Zach, where the two starting players in that room were both transfers, people would come out of woodworks. We would have fans from Pitt, fans from Florida, fans from everywhere saying they don't develop well, so they have to get players from someone else. So I just do want to say that obviously the Bama rooms of old a couple of years ago were some of the best that college football has ever seen. But I'm telling you right now, it has changed, and that's that. I do want to move on to an interesting this topic, I think, before we move into the mailbag stuff. So I saw that Zach and I kind of co-write the show every day, and I saw that Zach today put in a little note. Pro Football Talk said no prospect basically should attend the NFL draft without getting a quote-unquote talent fee or a appearance fee for going, and basically tried to take a shit on the draft, which I thought was kind of odd. But Zach, what are your thoughts on that?
First of all, this is my favorite I guess show or pair duo for dumbass sports media personality of the week. We have one. And there is one every week. Sometimes I don't hear it. I don't really pay attention to shows like this, but sometimes people retweet it, put it on my timeline, and I see it, and I'm like, huh? Mm-hmm. You can't be that fucking dumb. And Mike Florio, right, and Chris Sims have this show, this platform, whatever it is, Pro Football Talk. Chris Sims is undoubtedly the dumbest motherfucker in sports media. He was an overrated, hyped-up recruit that was not really worth a shit at Texas, never made it in the NFL, and it's clear it's because he's an absolute fucking idiot, just a moron when it comes to football. Football takes knowledge on the game, knowledge on players, ability to evaluate, ability to understand what the hell he's watching, if he even does watch it. He's just a moron. And then Mike Florio is one of those typical journalist grads, probably never played football. If he did, it was like he was like the field corner on his high school team or some bullshit like that.
Not the
like,
field corner.
Never played football at a competitive level. Doesn't know the game at all. He learned how to write words and keep people entertained and get clicks at Carnegie Mellon University. So, he didn't walk on and, wasn't a football player. But they have these takes, and you're like, God, like CBS Sports bought this platform? This is the dumbest shit I've ever heard. And it's because he writes well. Chris Sims, I guess, can talk. But it's absolutely moronic. Like the NFL draft, I've coached, I don't know, let's just throw a number, 20 kids. Maybe probably more than that. They got drafted, probably 30 or 40. But every single one of them would have absolutely given anything in the world to be a first rounder and to be invited to the NFL draft. Because this is an appearance fee? Fuck off. This is their lifelong childhood dream.
Right.
To get paid a ton of money, generational changing money to play football. Mm-hmm. And going to that event, walking up on stage, right? Being the center of attention, getting their jersey, their picture with the commissioner, right? Getting drafted is everything to these kids with all the work they've put in. To say that they should get an appearance fee? This is their moment. This is about them. It is their event. That'd be like me hosting a birthday party and saying I should charge an appearance fee for showing up. Shut the fuck up, you idiot. Dumb ass. Sports media personality of the week is Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio, whoever wrote that tweet. It could be even if it's an intern. That is their brand, right? Putting out dumbass shit like that. Chris Sims has been on this show as a dumbass sports media personality of the week, I don't know, a dozen times. So he's in the Hall of Fame. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer in the dumbass sports media Hall of Fame. He is. And Mike Florio is, he is right behind him. Like, say, hey, Chris, wait up. I'm coming, bro. I'm waiting. He doesn't talk like that. He'd be like,
hey, Chris, I'm on my way to also join you in the Hall of Fame of dumbass sports media personalities.
Like, it's just a joke. But someone who follows me retweeted it. Someone that I follow retweeted it. And that means that they follow him. And it's like the first thing I do, and I don't even know, maybe I follow him. I need to go unfollow him. But when I see stuff like that, I click their profile, click unfollow. I'm like, bye. Like, you're not filling my timeline with this garbage.
It's just funny because, like, they're doing stuff right now. Forget just the Hall of Fame. I'm talking about the Mount Rushmore of stupid, dumbass sports personality of the week. I mean, we got kind of RJ Young up there, and I think we're going to get Chris Sims up there too. And the Mike character is interesting because he's almost like a less cool Lex Luthor. I don't know if you know who that is. The villain. Yeah, he's like, it's like if Lex Luthor had to get a day job, he would be Mike Florio. Like, he's just terrible. Right. And it's like he's trying to piss on these kids' dreams almost. It's almost like it's poison almost. It's like these kids, a lot of kids, not everybody, when they dream of making it to the league, the moment they have, the moment that kind of it's like they made it, the moment that they will get framed and pictured forever is them holding up that jersey and putting the hat on. Like, that is something money.
Like,
money.
Not one kid cares about getting paid for that. They just exactly. want to be invited and want to hear their name called.
Mm-hmm. It's right? the recognition. Hearing their name called is the recognition, is the payoff for the incredible amount of work they put in, the incredible coaches that helped them get there. And here's the thing, because at the end of it, what are they doing, Zach? They're getting millions of dollars.
Right. I mean, it's literally the moment that everything changes, right? Mm-hmm. You go from being a college athlete that is grinding and training to make it to the NFL. The minute that name comes mm-hmm. out of Roger Goodell's mouth or whoever's mouth, in the first round, it's him. But the minute that happens, once he's done saying the name, their life is forever changed.
Generational wealth.
I mean, that's why you see tears of weeping of joy, because nothing will ever be the same. Mm-hmm. They immediately, after that draft party afterwards, that next day, they're on a private jet to fly to the team that drafted them to do a press conference. It is official. They are professional athletes. Mm-hmm. And barring the contract negotiation that goes on, they will be getting a signing bonus, a big ass check with so many commas and zeros. Like Patrick Surtain, whose dad was a great NFL great player. He had a lot of money. He still has never fathomed the check that he got for his signing bonus. And he was born and raised in a family that is millionaires, mm-hmm. right? Still life-changing.
Right. Like Zach Wilson's family owns JetBlue. The look on his face when he was drafted, it's like that's still generational wealth, millions of dollars to your name.
Well, as they say, it's called fuck you money, right? At that point, your parents may be rich, but guess what? So are you. So I don't have a curfew anymore. You didn't buy my car. You didn't buy my house. You didn't buy anything anymore. So whether it was life-changing because your family came from nothing mm-hmm. or, you know, middle class or whatever, or you came from money, it still is life-changing for that kid. Exactly. And to sit here and make it out like they deserve an appearance fee is – the event is, I know it's for entertainment. I get mm-hmm. it. The NFL is certainly making a ton of money off of it, but
the sport is for entertainment. Like it's the entertainment business. What the fuck?
It is. I understood their point, but wow, you talk about out of touch. But the reality is Mike Florio has never fucking been good enough to even like
to consider have the dream.
Playing football. Like, I mean, not even like intramurals. Like he was the kid that like was on the sideline, like that had to bring the playbook for college intramurals at Carnegie Mellon. Like he didn't even start on the intramural team. That's how fucking unathletic this guy is. And I mean, obviously Chris Sims, I mean, what? He's born Phil Sims' son. So he had some ability. I'm not taking that away from him, but he's absolutely a dumbass. Maybe his mom's a ditz, a model or a stripper or something. And that's why, you know, he didn't get Phil Sims' brain. I don't know, but he's an absolute dumbass.
I think that he has to be stupid to stay relevant. That's just kind of where my belief is with him.
That's what it is, right?
Yeah. I did want to ask you, Zach, one more thing before we get into the mailbag stuff. Did you see the Brian Kelly? He accidentally screenshot a tweet and put it on his Instagram account, then quickly deleted it. And the tweet read, "Everyone connected with sources inside the current program knows Notre Dame AD is retiring in 2 years along with Jenkins, blah, 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 blah." Just basically shitting on Notre Dame.
I mean, not Notre Dame. Shitting directly on Marcus Freeman.
Oh, yeah.
Basically saying he hired Marcus Freeman because he's got a foot out the door and it was just to make everybody happy for the next 2 years. He doesn't really care. He's getting out of there. Insinuating that Marcus Freeman does not deserve that job and will not be a good head coach. And I agree he didn't deserve the job, but that is also the way of these big hires now, hiring Ryan Day, hiring Lincoln Riley, hiring Dabo Swinney, hiring Kirby Smart. Like Kirby Smart didn't deserve the Georgia job.
Well,
yet.
I don't think anybody deserves any job. I think guys earn those jobs from the stuff they see that nobody else sees. And he may have earned the job. I think Ryan Day probably earned the Ohio State job behind closed doors, but yeah, not everybody gets an opportunity to earn it. And so
it is like becoming the CEO of, you know, Berkshire Hathaway, and all you've done has been a money manager your whole career, and nobody really knows, can you run a company that big? Yeah. Like it's the way of the world of college athletics now, but it's dangerous, right?
Because it is dangerous.
Marcus Freeman is entirely unproven. No one has a clue how well he can run a program. They may know how he can run a defense, call a defense, develop linebackers, all of that, but they don't know how he is as a CEO. And to get the Notre Dame job first is like, woo. I definitely doesn't deserve it.
Right.
But neither did any of the people I mentioned, and it worked out for them, right? There's also examples where it didn't, but
It's tricky though. I think Marcus Freeman might be a little bit of a bigger risk than Ryan Day, because Ryan Day came to Columbus.
Not because he's black.
Damn it. Don't you do that. Don't.
Well, oh, that's not what you meant?
No, that's not what I.
God, you're racist.
Yeah, you know, I can't wait till I get to write my tell-all book, and then we can talk all about it. But Marcus Freeman, one of the things is he kind of came from a defensive head coach, like, and Luke Fickell went to Notre Dame. The defense was kind of really up and down, was never really a strong point of that team, and then he became the head coach. When Ryan Day became the head coach of Ohio State, the offense was fucking firing.
Yeah, well, that's
he came in and changed it. Yeah.
That was, if you go back to when Marcus took the Notre Dame defensive coordinator job, that was my biggest thing, is Marcus Freeman is calling Luke's defense. Like, Luke is running the defense. Mm-hmm. He got to Notre Dame and the defense was good, but it wasn't like Jim Knowles' defense, or it wasn't like Ryan Day's offense, or it wasn't so dominant that you're like, wow, this guy's a superstar. And I'm not saying
he got outclassed by Luke Fickell against them. When they played, he got outclassed.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so that's kind of where I'm at with it. Again, not to say he won't be successful, because he probably might. And I like Marcus. I love his presence. He actually might be a better head coach than defensive coordinator, to be honest with you. Just my knowing Marcus and being around Marcus and seeing he has that shtick, that leadership, that charisma.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's got that aura about him that I believe he could lead a team. I don't know if he's a great coordinator, but now it doesn't matter. He's a head coach of Notre Dame, so we'll find out. But Brian Kelly taking a shot at him. Brian Kelly's such a bitch as is. But, I mean, it is indicative of kind of why he left, right? He's like, these two guys are foot out the door. They don't give a shit about pumping in the resources into this program to win a national championship, so I'm out. I'm going to go to LSU. I know they'll at least give me the resources.
If Urban Meyer did some shit like that, he'd be done. Finished. He'd been canceled again. What? Just absolutely just destroyed. It's so funny because, like, since Brian Kelly left Notre Dame, all this stuff, just the fake accent, the awkward dancing, the posting on social media, it's just like – like, what the hell is he doing, Zach? Like, can he just shut up and focus on, like, LSU just for a little bit? It's right. It's very, very odd. I do want
to
say,
Chris, speaking of that, I forgot to mention this to you. Someone, one of our listeners DM'd me a clip of the Pat McAfee show where they were talking about this podcast and me without mentioning me in the podcast. But there was, I guess the topic was Tom Herman or something. And I don't know when this was. But they just sent me the clip. But they started going down the rabbit hole of, well, Tom Herman, an Ohio State podcast was talking about Tom Herman and Mike Vrabel got into a physical altercation. And then, you know, the guy that's on the podcast had a problem with Tom Herman, and it started going down the road of like talking about me, and Pat McAfee stopped it. And he was like, well, it's whatever, positive vibes Friday. Let's change topic. Like, damn,
that's
good. I don't know. Pat McAfee doesn't like me for some reason.
And he blocked you. I thought you would have been a great guest on his show. Like,
I don't know. And I've said it before. I don't care. You can block me and not like me. I think his show's great. I think he's great. So I guess it's a one-sided dislike. Yeah, I guess.
Which is weird, I don't. Because it's like he messes with Coach JB, and like Coach JB's our guy too. Like,
right. It is what it is. But yeah, like, I guess that's how you know I'm a real one. I don't care if he doesn't like me. I like his show. I think he's really good. Mm-hmm. I think it's awesome. So I guess it's a one-sided deal.
Whoa, it's positive vibe Friday. Fuck out of here.
No, it's anyway. Negative vibe. It's negative vibe Friday. So I need to stop talking about Pat McAfee's show,
because it's actually choose good. Violence Fridays. Sometimes just choose violence.
Right.
I do want to get to the mailbag, Zach. One of the questions that came in, do you believe that Jack Miller made the wrong move? Anthony Richardson looked really good in the spring game. The reviews coming out of spring is that he looks really, really good. Obviously, we know Jack came from Ohio State, went to Florida when there were other options available, like Cincy, like Pitt, like Ole Miss. Don't know what happened there. Do you think Jack made the wrong decision? Do you think he transfers again? What do you see down there going on in Florida?
I mean, I thought he made the wrong decision entirely. Mm-hmm. But I go back to it's that between that rock and a hard place for me, because I don't want to speak negatively about a kid's ability or a kid, but at the same time, I want to be honest. And I said from day one, I didn't think Jack Miller was good enough. I didn't. And that's why I said he was going to be third of three in the quarterback competition. When he went to transfer, I thought he should have went somewhere like Arizona. That's more his fit to hit his ability level. He picked Florida. And I know there's a bunch of Buckeye podcasts out there that have a good relationship with his family. And
I love Jack Miller Sr. That's someone that listened to my show back when I was with the Unscripted Ohio.
And I don't know him at all. And I'm not trying to shit on his son. His son could develop into a great player. I don't know. I mean, he has a ton of time to do that and prove that. But I thought AR-15 was Anthony Robinson was has the ability, if he can develop as a passer, to be a really good quarterback. And so to go there, knowing that's the case, especially with a new coaching staff, it's just I would have picked somewhere that was more of a surefire. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say he won't in a year or two become the quarterback at Florida. Maybe it all work out. Maybe he will develop. I mean, you can't judge if it's the right decision until after the fact. But if he doesn't win the starting job right away, that's 0-2. Very Tate Martellish, right? What's next, right?
Yes, and so you can't swing and miss twice. It's tricky. I do know that the kid A-Rod has had some, durability issues in the past, and that could end up in a world where Jack gets on the field. But I keep thinking back, it's like he would have been great at Pitt. They got that Biletnikoff Award winner, which I refuse to mention him because whatever. He could have thrown the ball to him 150 times a game, been in the ACC, and been a thorn in.
Yeah, that would have been a great fit. Pitt would have been a great fit. That's exactly the landing spot that I thought he should have been at. Pitt, Arizona, maybe Arizona State, because he's from there. Somewhere on that level. I think Florida's just maybe a tier too high for him.
Too big of a step up.
And to come in right away.
Right.
To come in right away. Right. And it is what it is. Kids make mistakes. I get it. But
it sucks because I like Jack and I'm really rooting for Jack and I'm hoping for the best. And it's just like when you transfer, I always look to schools who have seniors moving on is kind of where I'm at with that. Oh yeah. Throw that up on the screen.
Shout out to the second shot with a little super sticker. If you didn't know on YouTube, if you want to donate to the show, you can do so. I don't know how to do it. There's a button, maybe super chat, super sticker. I'm not really sure, but thank you for doing that.
It's all going towards my barber fund also,
which is obviously people aren't donating much.
No, clearly. I do want to ask, here's another question. Was there ever a situation where the staff talked about having a championship level offense or defense, but the other side of the ball was not at the same level? And you guys ended up pushing some high upside kids out there to try to kind of get the gap right because the ceiling was so high.
So the question is, was one side championship level and the other wasn't? And
because the other wasn't, you rushed some kids out there that had high ceiling to try to supplement and get a little bit better on one side of the ball.
Yeah. I think we watched it last year at Ohio State and I think it happens all the time, right? One side of the ball is just that good. And I don't know about rushing kids on the field. You're trying to play the best kids and the most talented kids. I think one of the hangups that coaches have a lot of times is they play lesser talented, lesser players because there's a comfort level with them because they know the plays, they know the calls, they know their alignments. They're a little less wet behind the ears. And so they go with veterans sometimes over younger players that are more talented and actually better players, which happened to us. I've told the story 100 times. In 2013, Von Bell's sitting on the sideline. We have a kid in at safety that just isn't good enough. But he was older. He knew the plays. He knew the calls. And
it's like comfort in the right and familiarity. Spot. Comfort.
Yeah.
It's like
a comfy blanket, right? Mm-hmm. It's like a pacifier. It's like, yeah, but if I put this kid in, like at least I know he's not going to make a mental error. And it's like, yeah, but he also can't cover that guy. Like,
it's like the Jake Fromm effect. Yeah, it's the Jake Fromm effect.
And it's honestly like Georgia's offense, right? Their defense was so good. Generational defense. And they're like, all right, let's just go with Stetson Bennett. Like, he'll make a couple plays. He'll keep us in the games, and he's not going to screw it up. Mm-hmm. Right? And it's like, but JT Daniels is a more talented quarterback. It's like, we're going to go with the safe play. And this year it worked out. The year before it didn't, right?
Yep. So that is really interesting. I do. Second shot, I did have a question. Have you ever met Rush or recruited any of his players? I know Rush. You get this question. Rush Props, he's the high school coach.
Okay. No, I have not.
No stories. I know that he's talked a lot about the Georgia power players and the bags being dropped.
Someone
recorded him and dropped that video. And he got in trouble for having two families. Just insane stuff.
Yeah, he's I don't know how credible he is, but I did a whole YouTube episode on when the audio recording or whatever of him talking about how Nick Saban and Kirby Smart cheat in recruiting. And though I don't think he was wrong there, he definitely has a little credibility issue. When you have two families, it's you kind of lose you lose a little credibility with people when you speak.
Yeah, it makes it a little bit tough. Question about the offensive line. There are some reports that for the spring game, the Ohio State offensive line won't have enough to field both teams because the depth isn't quite there yet. And are you concerned about that? And how soon does that get fixed? Or is this kind of Ohio State's version of a flare going up? Hey, we're interested in offensive linemen in the portal.
No, I mean, that's a very common problem in spring because you have guys that are banged up, guys that are dinged up. A lot of times in spring, if you have a guy, and I don't know who would, maybe DeJuan Jones would fit this bill, maybe Paris Johnson Jr., that just like they're going to play some, but it's more important that they don't play and don't get hurt than it is to field two teams when you can just switch jerseys in between series. And I don't want to say every year. I think there was maybe a year, a handful of years in my career where you actually could field two offensive lines. Mm-hmm. But you're talking about 10 plus guys because you're going to pull out your top one or two, right? 10 plus guys that can play.
Yeah, they can play. And that you don't definitely worry about one of them getting injured. Like if Paris Johnson or DeJuan Jones suffers a serious injury in the spring game, Zach, it's done. That's what will create one of the holes. I don't worry too much about the offensive line because I think we have enough right now. Offensive line depth is needed, but on this offense with the starters there, there's absolutely zero holes. Another question, what unit are you paying closest attention to during the spring game tomorrow?
The linebacking core, for sure. I mean, the defensive unit altogether, and don't get me wrong, and I've said this every year and 100 times, you're not going to learn anything about the spring game. I mean, it is going to be so vanilla, so base defense. It's going to be, you're not going to learn anything, but you are going to get to see some linebackers on the field. You're going to get to see who goes out first. You're going to get to see them play a little bit, see how they trigger, like things that are just innate to quarterbacks, or I mean linebackers, you're going to hopefully see that, things that we haven't seen where they run an RPO or a zone read and they gap exchange and that linebacker's right there for minus one, things like that. You're going to see, we're going to be like, ooh, man, it's a different mentality.
Yeah, I'm really interested in the safeties. I know we have like what, 17 safeties out there, the Bandit, the Robber, the Mafia,
and you know, the what Viper. The young kids, some of the kids that played last year that you could just tell weren't ready yet, they weren't, you know, they didn't have that experience. They weren't getting coached well. They've been getting coached really well. And you listen to Jim Knowles talk. I had some buddies that were at the coach's clinic when he was presenting. I mean, the stuff he said about the players is he was blown away. Mm-hmm. He said they installed far more of the defense than he ever thought they could in this spring because these kids are smart as shit. Their football intelligence is through the roof. And that is a credit to the program. And so you're looking at it like, wow, if Jim Knowles is saying that, he first of all, dumb, really dumb of him to say, like under promise, over deliver. Always, especially year one. Don't oversell what you got going on. Let the play speak for itself on the field, man. When I did interviews and even like leading into 2014, when I knew my room was going to be stacked, and then going in after the spring in 2018, before I got fired, I knew my room was going to be stacked. They look like the best receiving corps in the country. And when I would do interviews, I'm like, you know what? We've got a lot of guys that really haven't been great players yet. You know, it's a work in progress. We're going to have a great summer to put a product on the field that Ohio State's going to, you know, deserve. I'm saying shit like that when in my head, I want to be like, I think we're going to be the baddest motherfucking group in the country. But I'm not going to say that because then if we're just good, people are going to be like, oh, they're not the best. But if I tell you that it's a work in progress and we're grinding and we go out there and we're a, you know, really good, but not the best, people are going to be like, wow, they're really good. They're improved, right? Under promise, over deliver. He missed that course in coaching.
Zach, you know what the difference is, though? The difference is you had been at Ohio State. You had been there for a while. He came from Oklahoma State where the ball of clay was maybe this big and then stepped into motherfucking Christmas every day. The ball of clay
this
big.
Yeah, I get it, bro. He is a grown-ass man.
Yeah,
I'm 32 years old. Like,
I'm giving you your props and just saying, but he's coming from the hood and walking into a mansion. It's like,
Part of it is he's got a hard on. He's walking around with a hard on every day.
Exactly. So he's like, hey, the party here is going to be doper than the party was out there. And it absolutely is because the facility's bigger. The women are badder. The pool is bigger. Like, it's going to be jumping. And so I understand him. He's getting a little too excited. But you're right. Always under. Yeah. Over delivery. What'd you say? Under promise, over deliver.
Always under promise, over deliver. Mm-hmm. Right. It's just like what, you know, I go out, I have a couple meetings and it's like, what time are you going
to
be?
I'm about to use that for the ladies later.
I'm telling you, bro, I got a meeting at 9 and 10. I should be home by 11:30. It's like, what time are you going to be home? I'm like, should be a little afternoon, like 12:30. Then I walk in at 11:45. It's like, oh, he's home. I'm never going to say 11:30. Cause then if it's 11:45, it's like, where have you been? No.
Right.
Under promise, over deliver. Life lesson.
Heard that. another question I've got. So there's some recruiting games going on. Carnell Tate was once in Ohio State silent. There's a belief that now he's going to go sign with Tennessee. There's a belief that he's kind of been playing the recruiting game to secure the size of his bag. I wanted to ask you, what would you do when a recruit was kind of playing games? Would you move off of him? Would you keep recruiting him? Would you like how would you approach a recruit that was obsessed with quote unquote the game? Or would you get down and play it with him?
No, I mean, it's recruiting. I mean, some kids like the attention. Some kid, it doesn't mean they're not going to be great players. You know, some of them, honestly, are just enjoying the moment. I mean, you only get to do it once.
I don't bashing kids for it, to be honest. Like, I don't really care.
I think it's fine. But at the end of the day, I think that Brian Hartline knows what's real there. I mean, he's got the connections, he's got the relationships with family, with coaches, that he's going to know if Tennessee's real, how real they are. And I always told kids, like, we had a kid, Wandale Robinson.
Yep.
And Rondell Moore, both, you know, smaller receivers, both from the state of Kentucky. But both of them were very serious about either Purdue or Kentucky, right? Each one is where they ended up. And at some point you're like, man, if this is a real conversation, then you're not the one for us, because you don't want to go compete at the highest level, go against first round draft picks in practice, play for a national championship. Like, you don't want that. So you're probably not for us.
Exactly.
And Wandale Robinson was sitting in his office, and I liked him. I didn't love him as a player. I liked him. And Urban started going after him. Like, what are we doing? I don't recruit against Kentucky. Are you kidding me? You're considering this? And Wandale probably wasn't a take for us anyways. But the fact that the kid wouldn't say we were, you know, one of his top schools or whatever, Urban got pissed and went off on him. And then we kind of stopped recruiting him, because you're telling me something. You want to go to Tennessee right now over Ohio State? That means you're either not competitive or you don't care about playing at the highest level, right? That's what it means. No disrespect to Tennessee, but it is what it is.
It is what it is. Fuck what it was. I heard you. I heard you. This is a little bit of a tougher question. If you have maybe one or two top five most overrated college football receivers since 06, guys that you knew couldn't really play, but because of whatever system they were in and whatever fan base, were absolutely just overhyped. I think the kid from Pitt is, you know, I've got a beef with them and that whole fan base for just fucking shitting on me for saying that he wouldn't have started at Ohio State.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the reality is I can't think of any off the top of my head. There's Corey Coleman was definitely one, who was at Baylor, and they didn't run real routes. They didn't run a real offense. It was all that hurry up, taking shots.
The like doxing kid at TCU that same time period.
The same year. And I, you know, that year sticks out to me because that was the year Michael Thomas came out. I agree. Jordan Addison, I think, is overrated. I don't think he's deserving of this conversation. The kid is a very good player. He just wasn't the best in the country. And then I'm, you know, Penn State, I can't remember who it was. They had a receiver. What was his name? Allen Robinson, maybe. They had a receiver that was first team All Big Ten over all of our guys and over everyone else in the conference. And it was because they literally threw him the ball in blowout losses, like the whole fourth quarter against backup defenses. Like, we're watching, I can't remember what the score was, but we were up like three scores on Penn State at home, and all our starters are out, and we're watching them throw it to this kid every single play against our second and third string secondary. And you're like, this is a joke. You're going to, one, you could get this kid hurt, but two, how does this mean this kid is good? Like,
exactly.
He didn't do much against our starters, and then against our second and third string, he started honestly not doing much, but at least catching passes now. And it's like, but this kid's going to be first team All Big Ten because of his stats. It's a joke. So it happens a lot with stat chasers. Stat, you know, chasers. What I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's guys every year. A lot of the Big 12 guys, I think, end up being super, super overrated just because of that style of offense. Things get crazy. I remember the Jalen Strong kid from Arizona State. I didn't think he was a very good player, but he got very overrated, ended up being a higher draft pick than he should have been.
Yeah.
The Hakeem Butler kid from Iowa State, people championed him as, like, he got some Calvin Johnson comparisons. Dorial Green-Beckham, obviously he only played 1 year, but they were calling him the next Randy Moss. Just some absolutely insane stuff. But I don't like going too much into it. But I mean, I've seen a fair share. But the doxing kid, for sure. Like, the way people were talking about him.
That whole draft class, Michael Thomas' draft class, it seemed like every receiver that went before him, you're like, huh?
Like, they were just looking for, like, I knew. I was a kid, man. And Corey
Darius Coleman Hayward ran. Bay was another one. I mean, look at any of these busts that, like, ran fast, and you're like, what? John Ross, another one. Like, I watched his tape at Washington, and you're like, yeah, the kid can run, but he doesn't play receiver. He's like, doesn't do receiver things. He doesn't run routes and top ends and releases. He just runs fast.
He just runs.
A lot of times that's what happens.
Mm-hmm. Combine Warriors. It's because you get guys in scouting departments that have never played football. They come up from video coordinating rooms, and they go to these combines, and they fall in love with kids. And my biggest issue with scouts in front offices, Zach, this will go over a lot of people's head. They want to be right instead of get it right.
Yeah.
And when you do everything to try to be right, you don't get it right. And when you don't get it right, you get you get fired.
Well, and they fall in love with things that they feel like if you miss on a kid that runs 4.2 something, it's like, well, people will see why we did it because it was right there at the combine. They watched it, right? But if it's, you know, a kid runs a 4.51 and you think he's a great player, you take a shot on him and he ends up not, they're like, well, yeah, he was slow. Exactly. It's like, yeah, well, Michael Thomas is a low 4.5 and he worked out. You know what I mean? Like it comes down to how good of a football player they are.
Philip Dorsett is the one that our guy Elks is talking about in the comments from Miami. Was an absolute burner and then just didn't work out.
There's 100 of those. Mm-hmm. There's we've named three already without even doing research.
5'10" guys that run fast, people just go nuts over. It's like no. Man, and the issue always ends up being they just keep getting jammed at the line. Like they can't get free and they can't get open. It's like that speed won't get you open. Because you're not gonna you won't get enough speed to run. You can't run your 4.2 whatever in a slant going across the middle without being aware of traffic. Like you just can't do it. And if you do, you will get de-cleated.
You got to understand. You got to understand football too. Mm-hmm. But Chris, let's make a phone call.
Yes, sir.
Let's make a phone call and see if Zach Harrison is a hometown hero. Side note: this barbershop is where my son gets his haircut.
Oh, okay. So you're going as you or Jim Greenlee?
Oh no, I'm going as Jim Greenlee. Gotta do it, right? All right, let's make this call.
I pressed the dude at Planet Fitness that didn't know who I was 2 days ago, just so you know.
No, you didn't. That's cap.
No, I swear I did. I didn't.
All right, here we go, Chris.
Yeah.
You can hear it?
Yeah, I can hear it.
All right.
Four Corners Barber Shop. Can I help you?
Hey, how you doing? My name is Jim Greenlee, and I was calling. I was in there. It must have been last month. Yeah, like March. And I was talking with the one feller that's in the first chair. He was a big football guy.
He's Justin.
Yes. And we was talking about a kid, an Olentangy kid that was from Powell or Lewis Center that went and played for the Buckeyes. And I'm trying to figure out his name, and I can't remember it. I didn't know if maybe he was there or if you would know who that was.
I have no idea who that would be, but he's on his lunch break.
Oh, shoot.
He will be back around 2.
Around 2? All right. Is there anyone, no one else is there right now?
Well, Anastasia's here, but we don't really follow football.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I appreciate it. Thanks anyways.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Man, I knew it. I didn't know there was two girls that worked there, but there's usually two guys and one girl, and the one girl talks about all the time she doesn't like football or follow it. If one of those guys were there, I thought we had a shot.
Damn.
Well, we won't even chalk that up as a loss.
No, we won't.
Zach Harrison, I know that the one lady who works there, and I knew she wouldn't know who you were. She wouldn't know Tom Brady if he walked in the door.
Yeah, she would know me, though. I'm just playing. Obviously, I've been to a barbershop in some time.
We will try him next week. Mm-hmm. We'll try him next week. So that's all I got today, Chris. You got anything else?
If Elon buys Twitter, Zach will cut my hair live on the next show.
Well, Elon's buying Twitter.
I'm just saying that happens. If the sale happens, get your clippers out.
I'm in. It's done. You heard
That's
it here.
That's all I got, man.
It's in the archive forever, just so everyone knows. I appreciate everybody. Menace out.
And the damn show.